一个祷告。
O God, our Father, how we thank you again for all your grace and your goodness to us.
哦，天父啊，我们是多么的感谢你对我们所有的恩典和良善。
You remain the same always.
你永远都是一样的。
In the world, there are so many things that change, but you change not.
这个世界很多事情都不停地在变，但是你却不改变。
We thank you, Lord, that we have your word.
主啊，我们感谢你给我们这样的你的话语。
And Lord, we would pray tonight as we would open the word of God and as Trevor would teach us. We pray, Lord, that our hearts might learn from your Holy Spirit.
主啊，当我们今天晚上打开你的话语，您借着 Trevor 教导我们的时候啊，愿我们能够，你的圣灵能够教导我们。
And Father, tonight we would remember Phoebe and her friends, Lord.
我们要纪念菲比和他的朋友。
We would pray for them, a blessing might be upon them.
愿您的祝福临到他们。
We pray, Lord, for the young people this evening as they listen to your word, that they may be blessed and built up.
主，我们也为今天晚上聚会的年轻人们祈求，也愿您的话语使他们得建造。
Father, we would thank you again and praise you for Hong finding a place to live.
主，我们也再次的感谢你，也赞美你，让红姐妹找到了一个临时的住处。
And now, Lord, as we turn the meeting over to our brother Trevor, we pray, Lord, that you would feed us with that manna from on high.
主啊，当现在我把时间交给 Trevor 弟兄，我盼望您借着他把那天上的玛纳赐给我们。
And teach us, Lord, how we might be able to collect that manna.
也教导我们该怎么样去收取这玛纳。
And so we wait upon you, Lord. We give you thanks in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
主啊，我们等候你，我们奉主耶稣基督的名感谢。Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Trevor, please.
Good evening, everyone.
大家晚上好。
It's nice to be with you again.
再次跟大家在一起很高兴。
We're going to be continuing our study in how to get the most out of the Bible study.
所以我们继续我们这个话题啊，就怎么从那个读经研经中得到更多的收益。
Because it would be a shame if we were to read the Bible and not get the treasure out of it that we should.
那如果我们读经呢，却没有得着我们本应该得着的宝藏的话呢，对我们来说也是很羞愧的事。
And it would be extremely embarrassing to get something out of the Bible that's not there.
那相反，如果我们读出来的是圣经本来没有的东西的话，那我们就更加的难为情了。
So last week we were looking at the completed word of God is God communicating to us.
上个星期呢，我们学过了我们这本完整的圣经啊，是神从天上要跟我们沟通的东西。
And we'd like to continue this evening.
所以我们今天晚上要继续。
The first thing we want to notice is that in the Bible there are only a certain number of themes.
那第一件我们要讲的呢，就是在圣经里面是有几个主题的。
And so if we know what these key themes of the Bible are, it will help us to understand what God is trying to say to us.
如果我们明白这圣经这几个关键的主题的话呢，我们就能够更好的明白神到底要对我们说什么。
So we don't find the theme of sports or, for example, in the Bible.
比如说我们在圣经里是找不到关于运动这个话题的。
And so we will never encounter that theme.
我们也碰不到这样的话题。
But there are five major themes in the Bible that we want to notice.
在圣经里面有五个这样的关键的主题啊，或者是主题思想，我们要明白的。
And every story in the Bible will fall into one of these five categories.
圣经里的每一个故事都会落在这五个关键的主题思想中的一个。
And so the first one is there is only one God.
那第一个主题呢就是只有一位神。
And when you and I live in a culture and the Bible was written in a culture where many people worshipped many gods.
但是我们所生活的这个世界呢它的文化呢是相信多神的。
And those gods often compete with one another.
而且这些神呢它彼此之间是相争的。
But the Bible teaches there's only one God.
但是圣经告诉我们只有一位神。
And this one God has no rivals.
而且这一位神呢是没有对手的。
He's a God above all other gods.
他是在众神之上的神。
He's unique.
而且他是独特的。
He's so unique, he doesn't even have an opposite.
他独特到一个程度啊，甚至他没有对立面。
So if you were to say,What's the opposite of boy? You'd say girl.
比如说你说跟男孩的对立的是什么呢就是女孩。
The opposite of tall is short.
然后这个高的反面呢是矮。
The opposite of black is white.
然后黑的反面是白。
But for God, he has not even an opposite.
所以但是对神来说呢他甚至没有一个反面。
Because some people would say, well, Satan is the opposite of God.
有人会说呢，撒旦就是神的对立面。
But he's not.
但是他不是。
Satan is a created being.
因为撒旦只是一个被造物。
So he's not even the opposite.
所以他不是神的对立面。
So when there's only one God, it's telling us about who God is.
所以在这个神是独一的这个主题里呢告诉我们神是谁。
What are God's characteristics?
那他的性情他的本性是什么
What can he do?
他能做什么
What is he like?
他像什么样子
And so when we're reading through the Bible, a story may talk about who God is, and this is this number one.
所以我们读圣经的时候呢有些故事是告诉我们神是什么样子的那这就是第一个主题了。
So if we're reading Genesis 1 where it says, In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
比如说在创世纪的一章一节里说起初神创造天地。
We would understand that God is the creator of all things.
那从这句经文我们就明白神是万物的创造者。
If we were reading in Exodus chapter 20,
但当我们读创世纪二十章的时候呢
verses 3 till 5,
三节到五节
it says, you shall have no other gods above me.
告诉我们你不除我以外你不能有别神。
If we were reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6,
那当我们读申命记六章的时候
It says, Behold, Israel, the Lord your God is one God.
这经文是说看以色列你的神是独一的神。
And you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind.
你要尽心尽意尽力爱主你的神。
And so these different portions of scripture tell us about God.
所以刚才读的这几段经文都是告诉我们关于神的。
And so that's one possible theme.
所以这是一个可能的主题。
The second theme is that God is holy and he wants us to be holy.
那第二个主题呢就是神是圣洁的他也想让我们圣洁。
Holy means he's different.
圣洁呢就是不同区别于别人的意思。
That he's set apart from everything else.
他和其他的一切都分别开来。
And it's something that we maybe don't understand because he's so different from us.
有的时候我们可能不能理解，因为它跟我们是如此的不同。
But God wants us to be like Him.
但是神希望我们像他那样。
And He encourages us to strive in our life to be like Him.
他鼓励我们，用尽我们的一生去像他那样。
So if we were reading in Isaiah chapter 6,
那如果我们读以赛亚书的六章的话，
where Isaiah sees God and we hear the words, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
那在六章里面，当以赛亚看到神的荣光的时候，他就听到撒拉夫喊，圣哉，圣哉，圣哉，万军之耶和华。
And so that's something for us to understand that God is holy and He wants us to be holy.
所以这个能帮助我们明白，神是圣洁的，他希望我们也圣洁。
The third theme in the Bible is that we aren't holy, but God has a plan to restore our holiness.
那第三个圣经的关键主题呢，就是我们是不圣洁的，但是神有一个计划能够恢复我们的圣洁。
God has a plan how to fix our unholiness.
所以他有一个计划能够纠正我们的解决我们的不圣洁的问题。
This is probably the greatest theme that we need to understand and learn from the Bible.
那这个主题呢，可能是我们从圣经里要学到的最伟大的、最重要的主题了。
This falls into the category of what we would call redemption and salvation.
那这个呢，我们把这个主题，我们管它叫代赎或者叫救赎。
That God's solution for our unholiness is substituting for His holiness.
那神解决我们的不圣洁的问题的方案是什么呢？就是用他的圣洁来代替我们。
So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 would say this.
哥林多后书的五章是这么说的。
That he who knew no sin became sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
五章二十一节，神使那无罪的替我们成为罪，好叫我们在他里面成为神的义。
So that we are taking His righteousness instead of our unrighteousness.
所以我们是用他的义来代替了我们的不义。
Isaiah 53 would say that He was bruised for our transgressions, He was wounded for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon him, but with his stripes we are healed.
然后以赛亚书的五十三章里面说，哪知他为我们的过犯受害，为我们的罪孽压伤，因他受的刑罚我们得平安，因他受的鞭伤我们得医治。
This is a theme that starts in Genesis chapter 3.
那这个主题呢，是从创世纪的三章就开始了。
And goes all the way to the end of Revelation.
一直到启示录的末了。
It's a huge theme in the Bible.
这个是圣经里的一个非常大的主题。
The fourth theme that all the stories in the Bible will be in is that God wants us to live the abundant life.
那第四个主题呢，圣经里告诉我们的呢，就是神希望我们活一个丰盛的生命。
He wants you and I to enjoy life.
他希望你和我能够享受生活。
But not just any life.
那不是说享受任何种类的生活。
But the life that God made us to live.
而是神使我们活出的那样的生命。
The life that God purposed in His mind before the foundations of the earth.
就是活出一种在创造万物之前呢，他的心里所希望我们活的，或者是定规我们活的样式。
In the book of Ecclesiastes,
在传道书里面，
the preacher found life under the sun as empty.
这个传道者呢，发现了在日光之下的所有的生命都是。生活都是虚空的。
He didn't find life under the sun purposeful.
他没有发现在日光之下的这个生命有什么意义。
The life under the sun had no meaning.
所以日光之下的这个生命是没有意义的。
But God wants you and I to live a life that's above the sun, not under the sun.
但是神希望你和我活出一种日光之上的生命，而不是日光之下的生命。
He wants us to live a life that's godly.
他想让我们活一种像神那样的生命。
He wants us to live, says John 10:10. He wants to give us life and give us that life abundantly.
他想让我们活的是像约翰福音十章十节里面说的，他来是使羊得生命，并且得的更丰盛。
Eternal life is much more than just a length of time.
永生啊，远远的意义远远超过只是活得长。
It's the quality of life that somebody has because they know who God is.
永生是指这个生命的质量，就是当一个人知道神是谁以后，他活出的这个生命的质量。
One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in John chapter 17, verse 3.
我最喜欢的一节经文呢是之一呢是在约翰福音的十七章的十节。
And Jesus says, "This is eternal life."
耶稣说这就是永生。
That they know you, the true God.
认识你独一的真神。
And the Son Jesus Christ, whom you sent.
并且认识你所差来的耶稣基督。
Eternal life is knowing who God is.
这就是永生了。永生就是认识谁是神。
And because you're walking closely with Him, you're living a life that pleases Him.
而且因为你紧密的与他同行，你就活出那个生命是蒙他喜悦的。
And you're fulfilling your purpose that God put you here for.
然后你就能完成神把你放在这个地上所设计的旨意了。
Because our hearts are deceitful.
因为我们的心啊是欺骗自己的。
But God's heart is pure.
但是神的心是纯净的。
Sometimes our hearts get tricked.
有的时候我们的心是被自己骗了。
Sometimes we trick others.
有的时候我们去骗别人。
Sometimes we trick ourselves.
有的时候是被别人骗，有的时候骗自己，有的时候是骗别人。
But when we're in a close relationship with God,
但是如果我们跟神有很紧密的关系呢？
We start to walk in His ways.
我们就会按照他的方式来行事为人。
Isaiah 55 says that God's ways are not our ways.
以赛亚书的五十五章说神的道路高过我们的道路。
And that God's thoughts are not our thoughts.
神的意念也不同于我们的意念。
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways.
天怎样高过地，照样我的道路高过你们的道路。
And His thoughts higher than our thoughts.
神的意念也高过我们的意念。
You see, the higher than the heavens are above the earth, God wants us to live that life that's above the sun.
所以他说天高过地嘛，所以神是希望我们能够活出那个日光之上的，就是到天上的生活，而不是地上。
In a relationship with Jesus and enjoying it even while we're here on earth.
我们即使在地上的时候，我们也和耶稣有关系，并以他为乐。
So God wants us to live the abundant life.
所以神希望我们能够活出丰盛的生命。
It has nothing to do with how big a bank account we have.
这跟我们的银行账户有多少钱没有关系。
It has nothing to do with how many children we have.
这跟我们有多少孩子也没有关系。
It has nothing to do with the things we accomplish here on earth.
这跟我们在地上取得了多少成就也没有关系。
It has everything to do with enjoying our relationship with God Himself.
这只跟我们和神的关系，我们能不能享受跟神之间的关系有关。
And the last theme, theme number five, is that God has eternity on his heart.
那最后一个主题啊，就是第五个主题，就是神的心里有永恒。
You see, God put eternity in our hearts, says Ecclesiastes.
传道书里说，神把永生放在人的心里。
But God also has eternity on his heart.
那同时神自己心里也有永恒。
And he wants us to live our lives in light of what's going to happen in the future.
神希望我们活一个什么样的生命，就是明白将来未来是怎么样的，来活出今天的生命。
In light of the hope of being with Jesus forever.
就是知道我们将来有这个盼望是和主永远生活在一起。
In light of the hope that one day we're going to leave these mortal bodies behind.
知道有一天我们会离开这个可朽坏的身体的。
That one day we're going to leave these corruptible bodies behind.
会离开这个会死的身体的。
And that's living with the hope for the future.
这就是在未来的信心里盼望里而活。
And that's us living in the light of, you know, sometimes here on earth, we get hurt.
有的时候我们在地上会受伤害。
Sometimes our hearts get broken.
有的时候我们会伤心。
Sometimes we get discouraged.
有的时候会灰心沮丧。
Sometimes we get depressed.
有的时候会忧郁。
But you see, the hope is that one day the Son of Righteousness is going to come with healing in his wings.
但是盼望，我们的盼望就是有一天呢，这个公义之子他会来，他的翅膀有医治的功效。
And because of that, we can face everything we face today knowing that eternity is going to be wonderful.
就是因为这个，我们今天才能够面对我们今天需要面对的一切难处，因为我们知道永恒是极其美好的。
And so these are the five major themes we'll find in every part of the Bible.
那这个是在整本圣经里各个地方都能够看到的五个主题，主要的主题。
The passage will either be talking about God and who he is.
那就是告诉我们神是谁。
Or that God is holy and he wants us to be holy.
第二个就是神是圣洁的，他想让我们也圣洁。
Three, that God has a plan how to restore our holiness.
第三个就是神有一个计划能够恢复我们的圣洁。
Four, that God wants us to live the abundant life.
第四个就是神希望我们活出圣洁的丰盛的生命。
And five, that God has eternity on his heart.
第五个呢，就是神的心里有永恒。
And so if we remember those five things when we're reading the stories, and that each story falls into one of those categories, that will help us to get the right interpretation.
那我们记得这个圣经这五个主题，而且在我们读每一个故事的时候，都能够把每一个故事安放在这个五个主题之下，那这样呢，就会帮助我们正确的解读圣经。
Okay, so that's the first thing we want to note.
那这是今天我们要提醒大家注意的第一点。
The second thing we want to note is, how is God speaking?
第二点呢，我们想要大家明白的是神是怎么说话的。
Because God speaks in different ways.
因为神是用不同的方式说话。
If somebody is a mother,
如果有人是妈妈的话，
they probably have parents themselves.
他们自己可能也有父母。
And so they talk one way with their parents.
他跟他们的父母说话是一个方式。
But if this woman is a mother, she probably has a husband.
然后这个做妈妈的呢，她可能还有个丈夫。
And she speaks differently to her husband.
那她跟她丈夫呢说话又是另外一种方式。
And if she's a mother, she has children.
然后因为她是妈妈嘛，所以她有孩子。
And she speaks differently with her children.
然后她跟孩子说话又是一种方式。
If she talks to her parents like they were her children, there might be something wrong with that relationship.
那如果她是用对她孩子说话的方式对她的父母说话呢，那他们的关系可能就出了问题。
If she was talking to an official doing some business, she would talk differently to that person than with other people.
那如果她是跟一个政府官员说话的话呢，她说话的方式跟其他人都不一样。
And God speaks to us in different ways also.
所以同样神也是用不同的方式跟我们说话的。
We call these genres of writing.
我们管这个呢叫写作的题，不同的题材。
So that there are different ways that God writes in the Bible.
所以在圣经里面神也是用不同的方式在写作的。
And the way we listen to them is different depending on what kind it is.
所以我们如何听神说话呢，也跟他这个用什么样的题材来说有关系。
Just like you wouldn't read the newspaper the same way you would read a story to your child.
同样的一个比喻，比如说你读报纸的方式和你给孩子读一本故事书的方式就是不一样的。
And you would read that different than you would read a book you use for school.
那另外你要读上学用的课本呢，那又是一种不同的读法。
And so depending on what kind of book we're reading, it affects the way we listen to it.
所以根据这个书的这个题材不同啊，所以我们听神说话的这个听法也不同。
So if we're reading a fairy tale to our children,
那如果我们给孩子读一个童话故事的话,
we know that that's not real.
我们知道，心里知道它不是真的。
And when we talk about dragons or monsters, we don't really have to have a fear that there's dragons and monsters.
当我们提到龙啊或者怪兽的时候呢，我们不必真的害怕这个龙或者怪兽。
Because we know that the story is made up.
因为我们知道这都是编出来的故事。
But when we read a science textbook,
但是如果我们读一个科学的课本的话,
and suppose we're reading about physics,
比如说我们读物理,
now we're reading things that are often facts.
那我们读的这些都是事实,
things that aren't made up.
这些都不是编出来的,
and so we take them more seriously.
那我们就会更严肃地对待。
And so that's just an example of us receiving what we're reading in a different way.
这个举的一个例子呢，就是让我们清楚我们是怎么样去吸收我们所读的这种不同的题材的。
So there are different ways that God speaks to us in the Bible.
所以同样，圣经里面神对我们说话的这方式也不同。
The most common way that God speaks is through the stories he tells of events.
那神借着在圣经里面最常用的跟我们说话的方式呢，就是故事了，就是描述一个事件。
Not a made-up story.
但这不是编造的故事。
Not a story that was invented.
也不是人想出来的，创造出来的故事。
But a story relating the events of something that occurred.
这都是跟历史上真正发生过的事情。
This is what we call narrative.
我们管这个叫叙事体。
And this is 22 out of the 66 books in the Bible are narrative books.
在66卷书里面呢，有22卷书呢，都是这种叙事文。
But even though they're one-third of the books, they take up half of the Bible.
虽然它在书卷的数目上是只占三分之一，但是在整个篇幅上它是占了一半。
And so this is by far the biggest genre.
所以这种题材呢，在圣经里面是最主要的一个题材。
The next type is the law.
那第二种题材呢，就是律法。
the law is usually very easy to understand.
律法呢, 通常是比较容易明白的。
You shall not kill.
你不可杀人。
That's not difficult to understand.
你明白这一点并不很费劲。
You shall not lie.
你不可撒谎。
You shall obey your parents.
你要顺服你的父母。
That's how the law is very straightforward that makes us think about our relationships with others.
所以律法的语言都是非常直白的, 所以它让我们去思考我们和别人的关系是怎样的。
The third category is poetry.
那第三个题材呢, 是诗歌。
Poetry is writing that comes from the events of life that are happening to the author.
那诗歌呢都是亲身发生在这个诗歌作者的生命中的真实的事件。
And it uses poetic devices to bring emotion and bring feeling to our minds.
但它是用诗歌的这种写作的这个修辞的手法，使我们能够感受到他的那个想法和他的那个情感。
My daughter and I were reading a poem the other day.
有一天我和我女儿在读一首诗。
And in this poem it says,
这个诗里是这么说的。
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag tossed in the wind?
你有没有有的时候会觉得自己像一个在空中翻滚的这个塑料袋呢？
And it's we won't read that like, you will not kill.
You will not what?
Kill.
我们读这个和说你不能杀人是完全不一样的。
Because this is trying to bring an emotion to our minds.
因为他用的这些语言呢，是想在我们的头脑中引发那样的情感。
Because we've all seen a plastic bag blowing in the wind.
因为我们都看见过在风中飞舞的塑料袋。
Something that's sort of left at the discretion of wherever the wind goes, that's where the bag has to go.
用这个来描述就是不管风吹到哪里呢，它就得跟到哪里。
And sometimes in our lives, if we ever feel that way, it's sort of a depressing, frustrating feeling that comes.
所以这个呢，用来描述我们生命中有一段时期呢是。 那种很灰心沮丧很忧郁的状态。
Like life is out of control and I have nothing to say about what's happening.
但就是指我们在那段生命中就是完全对生活失去了控制，我没法掌控我的生命了。
Often during this pandemic we felt that the government says this and the government says that and we have no control over our lives.
像我们在疫情中就有这样的感觉，一会儿政府这样说，一会儿他那样说，我们都无所适从了。
And so that's what poetry does. It wants to bring us into a certain emotional state of mind.
所以这就是诗歌所起的作用，它把我们带入到某种这个思想和情感当中。
The fourth category is prophecy.
那第四类题材呢，就是预言。
Now, prophecy were God's prophets speaking on God's behalf.
那预言呢，就是先知代表神在说话。
And most of the time in the Bible, the prophets were talking about events that were happening right then.
那绝大部分时候呢，那个预言所说的是都是指当时发生的事情。
So the primary function was to warn the people.
那它主要的功用呢，就是要警告百姓。
To warn the people that they were doing this and that God didn't like it.
警告百姓说他们做的这些事情神不喜欢。
And because God didn't like it, the prophets warned the people to repent.
所以正是因为神不喜欢，所以先知要让百姓悔改。
When the prophets were writing, they weren't particularly writing about future events.
所以他们写的时候呢，是警告未来要发生的事情。
although they do include future events.
哦，不是，他们指的不是未来的事情，虽然他会把未来的事情囊括在内。
But they were writing to warn the people to repent from their sin.
但是他们要，他是在警告百姓要从他们的罪中悔改。
They were real people.
他们都是真实的人。
Writing about real events.
写的都是真实的事。
I think about the prophet Jeremiah.
我想到了这个先知耶利米。
Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet.
他是被人称为是哭泣的先知。
And Jeremiah was telling the people or warning the people that God was going to judge them.
所以先知耶利米呢，他是在告诉人们，也是在警告人们，神会要将要惩罚他们。
And he saw what the people were doing.
他看见了人们做的事情。
And it made him so sorrowful that he wept.
使他非常的难过，以至于他痛哭。
And he warned the people.
他也警告百姓。
With weeping.
他哭着警告这些百姓。
With tears.
他流着泪警告这些百姓。
And the people didn't listen.
但是人们却不听他。
And God judged the people.
所以神就审判了这些百姓。
And then Jeremiah wrote another little book.
然后耶利米还写了另外一卷小书。
Called Lamentations.
就是耶利米哀歌。
Now in the book of Jeremiah, he's looking forward. He's looking ahead to the judgment that was to come.
在耶利米书这卷书里面呢，他是往前看的，是前瞻将要发生的这个审判。
And it made him cry.
这样的前瞻使他忧伤哭泣。
In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah is looking back.
那在耶利米哀歌的时候呢，耶利米是回望。
Because God judged the people.
因为神那个时候已经审判了百姓。
They were taken away into captivity.
他们已经被掳走了。
And he cried more.
然后他就哭得更伤痛了。
Because the people didn't repent.
因为这些人没有悔改。
And so that's how a lot of prophecy is written.
这就是很多先知书都是这样写的。
As warnings to the people that they need to repent before a holy God.
都是在警告人们要在圣洁的神面前悔改。
The fifth category are the epistles or the letters.
那第五类题材呢，就是书信。
These are the letters from Paul or Peter or Jude or John. These are the letters that we have in the New Testament.
那这个是在新约里面，是保罗、彼得、犹大、约翰他们等等他们写成的。
And these letters were written to address the challenges and the questions that the Christians had as Christianity began to grow.
那这些书信所针对的呢，是当这个基督信仰开始发展以后呢，他面对的一些新的问题和疑惑。
And in many cases, the letters were written with urgency.
那很多时候呢，这些信写的都非常的紧急。
Because the people were facing a crisis right now.
因为写作的对象往往在面对着一个当下就面对的一个危机。
And they needed the response right now.
他们现在就需要得到回答。
And so that's how we see and read the epistles.
那这就是我们在书信里面读到的。
The last kind or way that God speaks to us is called apocalyptic.
那最后一类题材呢，在圣经里呢，就是启示。
Now, apocalyptic is a little bit different from prophecy.
这启示呢和这个预言呢有一点不同。
Because apocalyptic books primarily focus on the future, prophecy about the future, not about what's going on right now.
因为启示的书呢，通常都是 指的是谈论的是将来的事情，是对将来事情的启示，而不是现在的。
So that's the difference between an apocalyptic book and a prophetic book.
那这个就是先知书和这个启示书卷的不同。
So from Daniel chapter 7 to the end, that's apocalyptic writing.
那但以理书的七章一直到但以理书结束呢，结束的这段呢都是启示。
And from Revelation chapter 4 to the end of Revelation is apocalyptic writing.
然后启示录的从四章到结束也都是启示。
They're talking about things that are going to happen in the future.
他们讲的呢都是将来未来要发生的事情。
And so, those are the six types of writing we'll encounter in the Bible.
那这个呢是我们在圣经中能碰到的六类的题材。
And because they're written differently,
因为它的写作方式不同。
We want to study them differently.
所以我们要研读这些不同的题材的方法也不同。
And because they're different, we're going to have a slightly different way to interpret them.
而且他们因为他们有具有差异，所以我们在解读的时候也不同。
And so now we want to take a look at how do we study narrative writing in the Bible.
那接下来呢，我们来学习一下怎么样来研读着叙事体的这个书卷。
This includes the book of Genesis to the end of Second Chronicles.
那这些书卷呢，是从包括从创世纪一直到历代之下。
The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts also.
然后是新约的马太、马可、路加、约翰福音书，再加上使徒行传。
This is about half of the writings in the Bible.
那这个所占的篇幅呢，差不多是圣经的一半。
So there's certain things that we want to do to be able to interpret a story that's given to us.
那我们需要去 解读一个给我们的一个故事呢，要需要什么方法呢？
The first thing we want to do is we want to know where the beginning and the end of the story are.
那第一件事情我们要做的事情呢，就是这个我们要分清楚这个故事的开头和结尾。
Because what if you don't start in the right place and you don't end in the right place? How would that affect your interpretation?
如果你开头找的不对，那结就会开头的地方不对，那结尾的地方也不对，就会严重影响到你的解读。
So if I were to say there was a man with a mask waiting for me at home.
如果我说有在家里有一个戴着口罩的人在等我。
What would you think?
那你会怎么想呢？
Some might think it's Halloween and somebody has a disguise on.
你会说会不会是万圣节，然后他把自己的脸遮住。
Somebody might think there's a robber and he's covering his face so we can't recognize him.
那有人说会他是不是一个劫匪，他把他的脸挡住，让人认不出他。
Some might think it's a pandemic and we have to all wear a mask.
有人会想那可能是在瘟疫的期间呢，大家都要戴口罩。
Someone might think that there's a surgeon preparing to do something because somebody's hurt.
那有可能会有人会想到是一个外科医生，他做好手术的准备，因为可能有人受伤了。
Maybe somebody is fighting with the poles and kung fu and they have a special mask on to protect their head.
也有人会想他可能是一个就是练功夫的人呢，他在打架，他要带什么东西来保护他的头和脸。
But if I just tell the story there was somebody waiting for me at home with a mask on, that doesn't tell us the story.
所以我如果只说这么一句话，那么在家里有一个戴着面罩的人在等我的话呢，他并不讲，并不能告诉我们一个完整的故事。
So if we start in the story in the right place and we end it in the right place, we'll get the correct interpretation of the context of the story.
所以只有当我们有找到一个正确的开头，一个正确结尾的地方呢，我们才能够准确的把整个这个故事解读出来。
So how do you know when a story begins and when a story ends?
那我们怎么才能知道这个故事是从哪里开头，从哪里结，在哪里结束的呢？
There are different ways.
有不同的方法。
For example, here at the chapel on Sundays, we're studying a book called Judges.
比如说我们教会今天晚上正在学这个士师记这卷书。
And the stories all begin with the same way it says, and the people did evil in the sight of God.
因为这卷书呢反复用一句话开头，就是以色列民又做神眼里，耶和华神眼里看为恶的事了。
And so every time you read those words, you know that a new story is about to begin.
所以每次你在士师记里读到了这句话，你就知道一个新的故事开始了。
So that's a pattern that forms.
那这个呢就是遵循的一个模式，用这个方式来区分故事。
Sometimes in the Bible, we notice a change in location.
那有的时候在圣经里面，我们注意到它有地点的转换。
We should read that. Let's just go back and read in Judges chapter 5, for example.
我们可以读一点经文，比如说我们读创世纪的五章。
Or we'll start in chapter 3, sorry.
从三章开始吧。
Verse 7.
Verse 7. 从第七节开始。
And it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam.
不是啊，不是那个创世纪，是士师记的三章七节。以色列人行耶和华眼中看为恶的事，忘记耶和华他们的神，去侍奉朱巴利和亚舍拉。士师记三章七节。
And so that's the beginning of a story.
所以这个呢，就告诉我们一个新的故事开始了。
Look at verse 12.
再看看十二节。
It says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord.
以色列人又行耶和华眼中看为恶的事。
And we know that it's the beginning of another story.
我们读到这就知道又一个新的故事开始了。
In chapter 4, verse 1.
再看看四章一节。
It says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead.
以户死后，以色列人又行耶和华眼中看为恶的事。
And so we start to get the idea that every time we read these words, that a new story is beginning.
那渐渐你就明白了，在士师记里，你读到这句话的时候，你就知道一个新的故事开始了。
Sometimes it's because they change locations that we know that a new story is beginning.
那有的时候呢，是一个地点转换，你就知道一个新的故事开始了。
Look in Matthew chapter 8.
我们看看马太的八章。
It says in verse 1, when Jesus was come down the mountain, great multitudes followed him.
八章一节，耶稣下了山，有许多人跟着他。
In verse 5, we have a change of location, and it says, when Jesus entered into Capernaum.
第五节呢，我们看到地点转换了，耶稣进了加百农。
And another story starts.
就是另外一个故事就开始了。
In verse 14, it says, And when Jesus went to Peter's house.
第四节，耶稣到了彼得家里。
In verse 23, it says, And when he entered into a ship.
23节，耶稣上了船。
In verse 28, when he was come to the other side into the country, of Gergesenes.
28节又换了地方，耶稣基督到那边去，来到加拉大人的地方，加大拉人的地方。
And so every time there's a change of location,
每一次呢，这个地点转变了。
We have the beginning of a new story.
那就是一个新的故事开头了。
Sometimes there's an indicator of time.
有的时候呢是一个时间的这个指示。
So it might say on the first day.
比如说第一天。
Or on the last day.
或者说最后一天。
Or at that time.
或者那时候。
When evening came.
或者说天晚了。
Or when morning came. Those time indicators help us realize changes in the story.
所以这些时间的标志词呢，告诉我们故事转换了。
So we can't really rely on chapters or headings in our Bibles.
所以我们不能完全依靠这个圣经里的分章，就章和这个标题的风格。
Because the chapters and the headings in our Bibles aren't originally part of the Bible.
因为这个章分的章节和这个标题啊，并不在圣经的原文里面。
They're put there to help us find certain places in the Bible.
就是人们把它放在那里呢，是帮助我们能够比较容易的找到那个圣经的指定的部分。
It's much more efficient to say John chapter 3 verse 16.
比如说我们说约翰福音三章十六节，这个效率就比较高。
Then count to the 563rd word in chapter 3.
比如说你比哪种效率高呢，就是你数从头数到五百多个字的时候我们读那句话比这种方式要效率高。
And so the chapters and verses help us to find a place, but they don't necessarily tell us where stories begin and end.
所以这个分章啊和这个标题也能帮助我们快速的找到一个地方，但它不一定是一个故事的开头。
So we want to know where the story begins and ends, so get all the information we need for the story.
所以我们要找到一个故事的开头和结尾呢，目的是能够把关于这个故事的所有的信息都得着。
Now all stories follow a pattern.
所有的故事呢都遵循了一个模式。
It doesn't matter if it's a story from the Bible.
这个是不是他写在圣经里都没有关系。
Or a story that you're telling to your children.
比如说你给你孩子讲的故事也是这个遵循这个模式。
They all follow a certain format.
所有的故事呢都是遵循了一定的模式的。
All stories begin with an introduction.
比如说所有的故事呢都是用一个介绍来开头的。
Here is where we learn the setting and we learn who the characters are.
对，我们在这个介绍这个段落里面呢，我们能够找到这个，知道这个故事的场景以及故事的人物。
This could be a long section or a short section.
这个介绍部分呢，可长可短。
But it gives you and I all the information we need to go ahead with the story.
但是呢，它提供了我们所有需要的信息，让我们可以进入到这个故事当中。
The second thing that every story has is a crisis.
那第二个呢，每一个故事都有的东西呢是什么呢？就是危机。
Every story has a problem that needs to be solved.
就每一个故事里面呢，都有一个需要被解决的问题。
And this is what we call the crisis.
我们管这个叫做危机。
And then comes a section we call the rising action.
然后第三个部分呢，每个故事都有的，就是情节的发展。
Now, these are the different complications or the difficulties that come along because of the crisis.
那这个情节发展中呢，就包含因为这个问题啊，这个麻烦所带来的很多复杂的情况。
And they draw us deeper into the story.
那这样的这个复杂的这个矛盾和冲突呢，就更多的吸引我们进到这个故事里面。
Because it makes the story more exciting.
因为这会使这个故事更吸引人。
And after the rising action comes the climax.
那么在这个情节发展到了顶端呢，就是到达了故事的高潮。
This is the solution to the crisis. This is the solution to the problem.
那这个高潮呢，就是使这个问题的 得到了解决。
This is where we find the meaning of the story.
我们也是在这个高潮里面呢，找到了这个故事的意义。
And the last thing we're going to find in a story is the conclusion.
那故事的这个结构的最后一部分呢，就是结局。
And this leaves us with the understanding that the problem has been resolved.
那在结局里面我们明白这个问题呢已经被解决了。
And that now we can close the story and say we've finished the story.
然后我们就知道哦故事到这里已经讲完了。
So we just like to take a look at how we do this practically.
那接下去我们来实践中来看一下到底是这是一个怎么样的一个过程。
So we're going to take a short story from the Bible.
我们从圣经里抽取一个简短的故事。
So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8.
我们翻到马太的八章。
We were reading here before.
我们刚才读到了。
And we want to read verses 1 to 4.
我们读一到四节。
And it says, when he, that is Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See thou tell no man. But go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them.
耶稣下了山，有许多人跟着他。有一个长大麻风的来拜他，说：主若肯，必能叫我洁净了。耶稣伸手摸他，说：我肯，你洁净了吧。他的大麻风立刻就洁净了。耶稣对他说：你切不可告诉人，只要去把身体给祭司查看，献上摩西所吩咐的礼物，对众人做证据。
And so let's take our little outline. They always start with an introduction.
所以现在按照我们刚才讲的这个概要来捋一遍。先从介绍开始。
And so we'll start, it says, when he, who's he?
这里面说他是谁呢？他是耶稣 ,Jesus.
That's Jesus.
就是在人物这里我们就找到了是有耶稣。
So when Jesus came down from the mountain, what does that tell us? Came down from the mountain.
那耶稣下了山，这个告诉我们什么呢？就是告诉我们这个故事发生的场景，就是这个地点。
That's the setting.
这都是跟故事的这个场景有关的。
He had just finished doing the Sermon on the Mount.
因为他刚刚结束了这个登山宝训的这个讲道。
And he came down the mountain.
然后他从山上下来。
And then it says, and there were great multitudes with him.
然后接着讲呢，有许多人跟着他，这也是在人物这里面，我们得到了另外的人物，就是一大群。
There was a crowd.
有一大群人跟着他。
That's part of the character.
这也是人物的一部分。
And then it says, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him.
然后又讲有一个长大麻风的来拜他，所以在人物里面还有一个长大麻风的。
So now we have the introduction.
好，现在我们这个介绍这个开头这个部分就结束了。
We know where it was.
我们知道这个故事发生在什么地方。
That he was down from the mountain.
就是他下了山，在山下。
And we know the characters involved in the story.
我们也知道这个故事所涉及的人物。
Jesus, the crowd, and the leper.
有耶稣，有一大群人，还有一个长大麻风的。
And then we have a problem that arises.
然后现在呢，我们就有一个发生了一个问题了，一个麻烦了。
We have a crisis.
就是有了一个危机。
It says here that the leper worshipped him and saying, Lord,If thou will, you can make me clean.
因为这个大麻风的来说，主若肯，必能叫我洁净了。那现在黑板上写的就是，如果
so if you will,
你愿意
，you can make me
你必能叫我洁净了。就是二节的这个后半段。
The problem is that he's a leper.
因为他是一个长大麻风的。
And so he says, if you will.
他说主若肯你若肯。
if you want to.
如果你想要的话。
So, this raises some questions in our minds.
那这个在我们的头脑里呢就会引发一些问题了。
Does Jesus want to?
耶稣肯不肯呢?
Can Jesus do it?
他能不能呢?
Does he want to touch the leper?
他想要碰他吗?
Well,
摸他吗?
Will touching the leper make Jesus unclean?
那如果他摸他的话会不会使耶稣变得不洁净了呢?
Will Jesus listen to him?
那耶稣会不会听他呢?
Or will he ignore him and just walk away?
或者说干脆就忽视他不理他直接往前走了呢?
Is Jesus even paying attention?
耶稣会不会根本就不注意不到他呢?
These are all questions that come into our mind when this leper says,If you will, you can make me clean.
所以当这个大麻风说主若肯必能叫我洁净了我们听到这句话的时候呢头脑中就会可能会产生刚才说的那些问题。
So these are all the conflicts.
这些呢都是这些冲突矛盾冲突。
So can Jesus do it?
这些引发的复杂的问题是什么呢耶稣能不能洁净他呢
Is he listening?
还有就是他会不会留意听他说呢
Does he care?
还有就是他在不在意呢
These are all conflicts, aren't they?
所以这些都是冲突。
And then we read in the next verse, and the Lord put forth, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean.And immediately his leprosy was cleansed.
然后接下去在三节里面你就看到耶稣伸手摸他说我肯你洁净了吧他的大麻风立刻就洁净了。
So this is what happened. Jesus did it.
这就是实际发生的事就是耶稣洁净了他是高潮部分了。
All of our questions are now answered in the climax.
所以我们刚才在这个冲突的这个环节所提出的所有的疑问呢在这个高潮的部分都得到了解答。
Could Jesus do it?
耶稣能不能做呢?
Does Jesus care?
耶稣在不在意呢?
Yes.
当然在意。
Was Jesus listening?
还有没有听这个大麻风的人的呼求呢?
Did Jesus walk away without doing anything?
耶稣有没有什么都没做就走开了呢?
No, that's not who Jesus is.
没有,因为耶稣不是那样的人。
Jesus is the one who cares.
这告诉我们耶稣是那个
Jesus is the one who listens.
他是听我们的呼求的人。
Jesus is the one who doesn't ignore.
耶稣不会忽略我们的。
Jesus is the one who's able.
而且耶稣是能医治我们的那一位。
Jesus didn't avoid this man.
而且耶稣没有回避这个人，不管他。
Jesus didn't avoid this situation.
耶稣也没有回避这个难处。
This is sometimes a hard story for me to read.
有的时候呢，对我来说是一个很难读的故事。
Because sometimes in Vancouver, we have these people who ask for money all the time.
因为我们在温哥华常常会遇到讨钱的人。
The same thing happens in Mexico, where we serve the Lord sometimes.
那在我们服侍的墨西哥也常常发生这样的事。
People are asking for handouts.
然后他们就是伸手问你要钱。
And sometimes, to my shame, I avoid them.
但是我很羞愧啊，有的时候我就会故意不理他走了。
That's why this is a hard story for me to read.
所以这就是为什么这个故事我读起来对我来说很难。
Sometimes I think that person is really stinky.
有的时候我会说，哎呀，这个讨钱的人身上太臭了。
They're very dirty.
然后身上太脏了。
They're high on drugs.
他们就是吸毒都吸嗨了。
And I say to myself, I just don't want to deal with that.
我就对自己说，我可不想跟他发生任何关系。
And to my shame, I just confessed to you that what Jesus did here, I wouldn't do.
所以我也很羞愧，但是我向大家承认，虽然我不愿意，但是耶稣他还是在乎的。我虽然我没在乎，但耶稣在乎。
Paul wrote a letter to a man named Timothy once.
保罗写给提摩太一封信。
And in it, Paul writes, "Great is the mystery of godliness."
他跟提摩太说，敬虔是极大的奥秘啊。
That God was manifest in the flesh.
那就是神道成肉身呢，是个极大的奥秘。
And in that statement, Paul tells us what godliness is.
那在这个书信里面呢，保罗告诉提摩太什么是敬虔。
He says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh."
那就是道成肉身。
And because I'm a Christian, God is living in me.
那因为我是基督徒, 所以神是住在我里面的。
And I should let God use my life for him.
对，我应该允许神使用我的生命为了他的功。
And do what God wants me to do.
去做神让我做的事情。
To say what God wants me to say.
去说神让我说的话。
To go where God wants me to go.
去神让我去到的地方。
Because when I go, God goes.
因为我去，神也去。
At least that's how it's supposed to be.
当然，这是应该做到的，应该这么做的。
And so all these questions that arose in our minds,
所以这些在我们头脑中产生的这些问题,
they're all answered in the climax.
这些问题呢，都在这个高潮的部分得到了解答。
And this is where we find the meaning to the story.
我们也是在这里找到了这个故事的意义。This
is where we find out which one of those themes of the Bible the story fits into.
在这里我们也知道这个故事呢，是落在我们刚才讲的那个五个主题的哪一个主题里。So
does this talk about God and who he is?
这个故事有没有告诉我们神是谁，他是什么样的神呢？
It does.
告诉我们了。
Does it talk about God being holy?
它有没有讲到就是涉及到神是圣洁的呢？ 这个主题呢？
I suppose it does too.
我觉得也讲到了。
Does it talk about God restoring?
这有没有讲到神的 恢复我们的这个不圣洁呢？
I guess it has that theme in it also.
当然，也肯定也讲到了这个主题。
Does it have about us living how God wants us to live?
这有没有提到就是神希望我们过什么样的生活呢？
It does.
也提到了。
And that's probably where all these big questions come into more than everything else.
所以这就是这些问题所带来的让我们明白的意义。But
you see, it depends on God's character.
这都是基于神的本性。It
depends on God being holy.
这都是因为神是圣洁的。It
has to do with how we see the people who need to be restored around us.
我们也看到，我们周围的人是多么需要，恢复圣洁。
And then it leads us into living a godly life.
那这会, 带领我们去过一个, 敬虔的生活。
You know, sometimes we don't do this because we're scared.
有的时候我们没有这样做是因为我们害怕。
Sometimes we don't do this because we're lazy.
有的时候我们这么做是因为我们懒。
Sometimes we do this because we have very sensitive noses when there are stinky people around.
有的时候我们没有这样做是因为 身上有味道的人出现的时候，我们鼻子太过灵敏了。
Sometimes these people might look very scary.
有的时候这些需要帮助的人看起来有点吓人。
But you know, if God were to ask us to do something, we do it in light of eternity, don't we?
但是我们要记得，神让我们做什么事的时候呢，我们是要怀着这个永恒的盼望去做的。
We do it because God asked us to do it.
我们做是因为神让我们这样做。
And so we see this theme, all five themes actually running through this particular story.
所以我们看这样一个小小的故事呢，就包含了我们前面说的这个五大主题都囊括进来了，都涉及到了。
And then in verse 4, we have the conclusion.
然后在最后呢，我们有这个结局这个部分。
And Jesus said to him, See thou, tell nobody, and go and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them.
第四节，耶稣对他说：“你切不可告诉人，只要去把身体给祭司查看，献上摩西所吩咐的礼物，对众人做证据。”And
you see, everything is fulfilled. He's done everything right religiously. He's in right terms with Jesus, and it makes a good end to the story.
那你看，在这里就是所有的一切都成就了，在宗教上的一切的这个律法。 条件也都，律法的要求也都满足了，所以是一个这个故事很好的一个结尾。And
so, following an introduction, a crisis, a conflict, the climax, and the conclusion, we can get a properly interpreted story out of the Bible quite easily.
所以我们按照这样的一个故事的这个结构来分析啊，就是从介绍到危机到。 冲突到高潮，再到结局，我们就很容易能够把圣经中的一个故事把它解读出来。We're
not adding to the story.
我们没有在这个故事上增加什么。We're
not taking away from the story.
我们也没有从这个故事中删减什么。We're
not inventing ideas about the story.
我们也没有把自己的发明的一些什么想法加进这个故事里面去。
We use these steps to come to a proper interpretation of the story.
所以我们用这个结构呢，就正确的、恰当的解读了这个故事。And
so that's one example.
那这是其中的一个例子。If
we were to go on to the next set of verses.
那我们看下一段经文啊，接下去的。
We have the start of a new story in verse 5.
然后第五节呢，就开始了一个新的故事。
And we know that because there's a change of location.
我们为什么知道这是个新的故事呢？因为它的地点转换了。
So verse 5 says, And when Jesus entered into Capernaum.
第五节说耶稣进了加百农。
So now we have this change in setting.
所以我们把这个故事的这个场景呢，就要转换了。 就是要改了。He's
in Capernaum.
在这个地点呢，就是加百农。That
means the house of Nahum.
这个加百农呢是拿鸿的家。And
there was a prophet who came from Capernaum.
因为拿鸿先知啊是从加百农出来的。And
then it says. So when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick.
然后有一个百夫长进前来求他说,主啊,我的仆人害瘫痪病躺在家里。
And so we're introduced to two more characters.
然后这一节呢告诉我们有两个人物。
So when Jesus came to Capernaum, so he's the first one, who's the next person introduced?
所以耶稣是进了加百农嘛，所以他是第一个人物。那谁是第二个人物呢？就是这个。
We have a centurion.
就是百夫长。
Now the centurion was a Roman.
嗯，那百夫长是一个罗马人。
So that might be important in the story. We're not sure yet.
嗯，
he was a Roman soldier.
所以他这一点是不是重要的在故事里呢？我们现在还不确定。
And the centurion says, "I have a servant."
然后这个百夫长说呢，我有一个仆人，这是第三个人物了。
So now we have the setting in the town of Capernaum.
那现在我们有了这个故事的地点，就是在加百农城里。
And we have three characters introduced: Jesus, the centurion, and the servant.
然后这故事呢，引入了三个人物，就是耶稣、百夫长和他的仆人。
And the centurion says to Jesus, "Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented."
嗯，而且他对耶稣说，主啊，我的仆人还瘫痪病躺在家里，甚是疼苦。
And so what's the crisis?
那这里的这个危机是什么呢？
Here's the servant is very sick.
就是他的仆人病得很重。
That's a problem sometimes, isn't it?
嗯，所以有的时候这是一个很大的困难，是不是？
So, what are the questions it provokes to us now?
那么现在你的头脑中会想到一些什么问题呢？引发你一些什么问题呢？
Because you see, the first man in the first story was a leper.
嗯，在第一个故事里面呢，这个人是个长大麻风的。
And he was to go show himself to the priests.
那耶稣呢告诉他去把身体给祭司查看。
So he was Jewish.
那个人呢是犹太人。
He was part of God's chosen people.
那他是神的选民中的一员。
Now we have a centurion.
那现在呢我们有了一个百夫长。
And his servant.
还有他的仆人。
Who probably aren't Jewish.
这个仆人可能不一定是犹太人。
He doesn't have leprosy, but he's still very sick.
虽然他没有长大麻风，但是他还是病得很重。
And so what are some of the questions that come now?
那现在有些什么问题可以产生了呢？
Some of them are the exact same questions we had for the leper.
有些问题呢，我们是和那个大麻风的问的会是一样的。比如说 耶稣能治他吗？
Will he listen?
他愿意听百夫长的祈求吗？
Because maybe he only listens to his own people. Maybe he doesn't listen to other people.
那也许他只听他的子民，就是犹太人的呼求，不听这个其他民族的人的请求呢？
Or is it the opposite? Will he ignore him?
或者的反面就是他会不会 忽视他，忽略他呢？
Will he heal?
还有他能不能治好他呢？他愿不愿意治好他呢？
And there are other questions we might ask too, but these are things that will cross our minds.
可能还会有别的问题，但至少这几个问题呢，是我们脑子里会想到的。
And then we have another problem.
然后接着呢，我们又有一个麻烦了。
Because Jesus says, "I will come and heal him."
耶稣说，我去医治他。
Because in verse 8, the centurion says, "Wait a minute."
百夫长回答说，等一下。
He says, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but you speak the word only, and my servant will be healed."
主啊，你到我舍下，我不敢当。只要你说一句话，我的仆人就必好了。
So now we know part of it. We know that Jesus will listen.
那现在呢？问题的有一部分我们能解答了。 就是我们知道耶稣愿意听他的呼求。
But we read about this centurion and says, wait a minute, I'm not worthy that you come into my house.
但是我们现在读到百夫长说等一下你到我家里来我不敢当我不配得。
What does that imply?
那这个意味着什么呢?
That I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof.
就是你到我家里来到我的屋檐下我不配得。
Sometimes when we do God's work, sometimes people are embarrassed to invite us over to their homes.
有时候我们在做主的工作的时候呢，有些人是不太愿意邀请我们到他家里去的。
Sometimes there are very difficult relationships happening in that home.
因为有的时候是因为他们家里呢，有些这个关系很僵。
And so somebody would prefer that we don't see those conflicts.
所以他们可能不希望我们看到他们家里这样的冲突。
Sometimes people are sort of embarrassed by the way that the cleanliness of their house.
Sorry?
How clean their house is.
Okay. 有的时候他们会觉得他们家里不够整洁，所以他们不太想请人到他们家里去。
Sometimes they're embarrassed about where their house is located.
有的时候呢，他也因为他们家所处的这个位置地点呢，也有一些不情愿，难为情。
And so they say, well, maybe you shouldn't come to my house.
然后他们会说，你不要到我们家来。
Maybe there are other excuses.
也可能会有其他的原因或借口。
And the centurion says, I'm not worthy though.
但这里面这个百夫长给的理由呢是说我不敢当我不配得。
He doesn't say that my house is messy.
他不是说我家里很乱。
He doesn't say that I'm embarrassed that you come to my house.
也不是说你到家里来我就很难堪很难为情。
He does say, I'm not worthy.
然后他说的是我不配得。
And he's showing his humility.
他在表明他的谦卑。
He's saying, someone like you should never have to go to a place like mine.
他的意思是说像你这样的人呢这不应该到我这样的一个人的家里来。
You're much too great, and I'm much too small.
因为你太伟大了，我太渺小了。
You just say the word, and my servant will be healed.
然后他说，只要你说一句话，我的仆人就必好了。
And look how the story continues.
我们看看这故事怎么发展。
The centurion says, For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goes.And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.
是因为我在人的权下，也有兵在我以下。对这个说去，他就去；对那个说来，他就来。对我的仆人说，你做这事，他就去做。
And so now he's expanding on his humility.
所以他现在在拓展，就是展开他的这个谦卑。
Because you see, he said,I know what it's like to sort of kind of be like you.
No, 就是我和你不是一样的人。
Because I'm under authority.
因为我是在权柄，人的权柄之下的。
And because I do things in the name of Caesar.
那我做事呢是奉凯撒的名。
I can tell this man do this and he does it.
然后我就可以奉他的名告诉手下的人做这个他就做了。
And he says to Jesus, I too am a man under authority.
因为他说我也是在人权下的人。
Implying that Jesus is somebody under authority. Implying.
所以他是暗示耶稣也是在别人的权柄之下的。
You see, Jesus never did anything for himself.
耶稣从来没有为自己做过什么事。
He did all the things that pleased God.
他做所有的事都是, 为了蒙神的喜悦的。
He never ever did things for himself.
他从来没有为他自己做过什么事。
Always in the name of his Father.
都是, 奉神的名在做的。
And that's what gave Jesus authority.
哦，就这一点给了耶稣权柄。
Jesus had authority because he was submissive to his Father.
耶稣之所以有权柄，是因为他把自己 伏在父神之下。
Just like the centurion had authority because he was submissive to Caesar.
就像百夫长有权柄一样，是因为他 服从凯撒的权柄，所以他有了自己的权柄。
And verse 10 says, Jesus heard it and he marveled and he said to all those that followed, Truly I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
第十节，耶稣听见就稀奇，对跟从的人说，我实在告诉你们，这么大的信心在以色列中我也没有遇见过。
And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.
我又告诉你们，从东从西将来许多人。 将有许多人来在天国里与亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各一同坐席。
So he's saying here, from the east and the west, from all over, isn't he?
所以他这里面说从东、从西，就是从各个地方。
So part of the question he's answering is, does God listen to people that aren't from Israel?
所以这个就回答了我们上面的其中的一个问题，就是神听不听不是以色列的。 民的呼求呢?
And the answer is yes.
答案是听的。
Aren't you glad that God listens to people that come from other parts of the world?
那你当你听说神也听从世界其他部分 地方来的人的呼求的时候, 你高不高兴呢?
In this Bible study tonight, some of us are from the east and some of us are from the west.
比如说我们今天晚上参加这个圣经学习的，有人就是从东面来的，有的就是从西面来的。
And one day we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven altogether.
但是有一天我们会一起进到神的国里。
Then it says in verse 12, But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
十二节，唯有本国的子民竟被赶到外边黑暗里去，在那里必要哀哭切齿。
And Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so shall it be done to thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour.
耶稣对百夫长说，你回去吧，照你的信心给你成全了。那时他的仆人就好了。
So we find the climax and the conclusion all part of the same portion.
所以刚才读的这一段呢，是把高潮和结局的部分都融合在一起了。The
servant was healed.
那就是仆人的病好了。And
we see this indication of this great faith of this centurion man.
所以我们在这个故事里面呢，看到这个百夫长的伟大的信心。
And we find out that it doesn't matter where you're from.
我们也发现不管你是从哪个国家来的。
And it doesn't matter your background.
也跟你的背景无关。 You are frozen, Trevor.
If you have faith in Jesus, Jesus is listening.
只要你对耶稣有信心的话，他就听你的呼求。But
if you don't have faith in Jesus, you're going to be lost to a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth.
但是如果你不相信耶稣的话呢，那你就会被丢在外面的黑暗里哀哭切齿。That's
what it's talking about here, isn't it?
那这是这个故事告诉我们的，不是吗？
If you have faith in Jesus, Jesus is listening.
如果你对耶稣有信心，耶稣就听你。
If you don't have faith in Jesus, there's a horrible end to your story.
如果你对耶稣没有信心的话呢，那你故事的结局是非常可怕的。
And so that's sort of an outline to this second story in Matthew chapter 8.
那这个就是在马太的八章的第二个故事的一个纲要了。
You see that they all have an introduction with a setting and a character.
那就是在开头的介绍的部分介绍了地点和人物。
That there's always a problem, a crisis.
然后这故事里总是会有一个问题，一个危机的。
There are always these conflicts that make it more interesting. These questions that arise. Will this happen? What will this? What will go on?
然后接下去呢，会有一些冲突，然后复杂的发展，使这个故事越来越有趣，就是会，你会想到很多很多的问题。
And then a climax, the resolution to the crisis.
然后就在高潮的部分呢，就为这个危机的解答提供了答案。
And the conclusion that ends this story.
然后在结局的部分呢，就结束了这个故事。
Now, does this story talk about the theme of God?
那这个故事有没有讲到神的这个主题呢？
It does, doesn't it?
当然讲到了，我们说的是第一个主题啊。
Here we have a Roman servant.
因为这里我们有一个罗马的仆人，罗马人的仆人。
The Bible says it makes no difference if you're a Jew or a Gentile. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
因为圣经里说，无论你是外邦人还是犹太人，你都犯了罪，亏缺了神的荣耀。
The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
圣经告诉我们说，罪的工价就是死，但是神的恩赐是耶稣基督。
The Bible says, whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
然后圣经里说，凡相信耶稣的人，都不至灭亡，反得永生。
So in these first two stories, we see a Jewish man and a Roman man.
所以在这个八章的这两个，前两个故事里面，我们看到了一个犹太人，又看到了一个，罗马人。
And Jesus cared for them both.
我们看到耶稣关心在乎他们每一个人。
Isn't that a great thing?
这是一个伟大的事情。
Could Jesus do it?
另外一个问题就是耶稣能做吗？
Does he have the authority to do it?
他有这个权柄去治病吗？
The answer is yes. Can Jesus restore?
答案是是的。那耶稣能不能修复，能不能恢复呢？
The answer is yes.
答案是的。
Did Jesus ignore the man?
耶稣有没有不理这个人呢？
Was Jesus a racist?
耶稣是种族主义者吗？
Oh, God has no exception of persons.
但是神是不偏待人的。
God so loved the world, says the Bible.
圣经说神爱世人。
It didn't matter.
所以你是什么人没有关系。
And so we see a lot of the same questions being answered in this second story. And so we see the themes, we see this introduction, and it helps us to focus and get the right interpretation of the story for us. And so I hope that helps us this evening as we look at a story. Try to find what the introduction is. Where is it happening? When is it happening? Who are the characters? What's the problem? What's the difficulty?
所以我希望我们今天晚上用这样的方式来分析一个故事，能够帮助大家来解读这个圣经。就是先要看它这开始是它在哪里，这个故事在哪里发生的，有哪些人物，然后再看看这个问题的这个冲突，这个危机和矛盾是什么？
What are the added conflicts?
然后在之上又发展出来的新的这个冲突是什么？
How is the conflicts resolved in the climax?
然后就是这个危机啊，是在这个高潮的部分是怎么得到解决的？
What is the conclusion of the matter?
然后这个事情的结局是什么？
And then, how does it fit into those five themes we were looking at the beginning?
然后就是我们来看整个这个故事是讲的是我们刚才说的那个五个关键主题的哪一个或者是哪几个。
Is it showing us who God is?
嗯，有没有向我们显明神是怎样的神？这是第一个主题。
Is it showing us that God is holy and wants us to be holy?
嗯，有没有向我们显明第二个主题，神是圣洁的，也希望我们是圣洁的？
Is it showing us how God has a plan to restore us?
有没有向我们显明第三个主题，就是神有一个计划能够恢复我们的圣洁？
Does it show us how God wants us to live life the way He wants us to live life?
有没有向我们显明第四个主题，就是神希望我们能够活出一个像他那样的生命？
And does it help us to live in light of eternity?
嗯，那还有就是他有没有帮助我们能够明白永恒？
I hope that's a little help to us this evening.
嗯，我希望这个今天晚上所讲的对大家有一点帮助。
On how to begin to outline a portion of scripture.
嗯，那就是怎么样去分析一个圣经的一个段落的一个结构。
Thank you for your attention this evening.
好，谢谢大家今天的晚上的注意。
Thank you, Trevor. 谢谢您。
嗯。我们应该做个祷告。
Let's just close in a word of prayer then.
啊，我们做个结束的祷告。
Our Father in heaven.
我们天上的父啊。
We thank you that you're a Father who wants to communicate with us.
我们感谢您是天上的父，想要跟我们交通的父。
And you're a Father who wants to communicate clearly to us.
而且你是想清清楚楚的跟我们交通的。
And that if we just spend a little effort, we can find out what you want to say.
只要我们稍微努一点力，我们就能够知道你到底要对我们说什么。
Sometimes some people are lazy.
嗯，有的时候有些人比较懒。
And they just invent any old story up to interpret what you want to say.
嗯，有的时候他们就自己想出一些这个古旧的说法来。试图解读你的话语。
But we're your people.
但是我们是你的子民。
We're your servants.
我们是你的仆人。
And we would say, speak, for your servant listens.
嗯，我们要对您说，主啊，请说，仆人在此。
And we want to understand what you're saying.
嗯，我们想要明白你到底在说什么。
So help us to understand.
所以帮助我们能够明白。
Help us to take it in.
也帮助我们能够接受。
So that we can live life the way you meant life to be lived.
因此我们才能够活出你想让我们活出的生命。
In communion with you.
跟你相交。
For the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus, we pray for you to help us.
也为了主耶稣基督的荣耀，我们祈求你来帮助我们。
To interpret correctly your word.
能够正确的解读您的话语。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Trevor. The Lord bless each one.